Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. We got a whole lot to get into today here on the program. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Little sore. Been working out now. I've been lifting a little, pumping a little iron for the first time in like...
You can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just busting out of this sweatshirt here. But, 2 days ago, I mean, it wasn't even, I was like the old man in the gym, and there are other people in there, like, just absolutely, you know, putting up a lot. And I'm down there on the bench with my little, you know, and I'm sitting here like I just, like I'm Conan the Barbarian, and I've been, you know, like pushing boulders for years. It's a lot of pain.
That's good pain,
some Motrin. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it feels like progress, but sometimes progress shouldn't hurt this much, right?
Probably not. Yeah. Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
Hey, doing good. Joe, you fighting off some gout?
Well, jeez. This would be a good way to.
It really would be.
Have less
no,
gout.
In a positive way. It's
stave it off.
It'll pay off some dividends.
Sure.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Then you just can't go from the gym right to 3 IPAs and a Reuben. You know. That's the next challenge.
We'll worry about that later.
Yeah.
That's fine.
By the way, so we getting pizza soon?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Some beer soon?
Yeah. I'm ready.
All right. Yeah.
We'll figure that out this week. Yeah. I mean, look, both for the end of our Pigskin Pick'em competition, which we discussed on Friday, and I think pizza probably in order this week in celebratory fashion for Rex Road's favorite week of the year. It's finally here. NFL Combine week has arrived, Joe. Thursday is when this thing officially gets kicked off. Get fired up, baby.
You know, it's so normally, and then in every year of this show, I would be coming to you from Indy this morning.
Yeah.
And you know what's amazing is I have no idea. Like, when did the Titans talk? I don't even know.
No clue.
You don't know either?
No.
We should, as a show, we probably should know these things. I assume they talk probably it's tomorrow or Wednesday.
I guess.
Right?
I don't know.
We'll find out. We'll try to find out before the end of the show. But, yeah.
We've done our level best to avoid the NFL Combine at all costs.
Yes, but
we're finally here.
Yeah, we are here for this week. So we will. Like, I'm glad we get the content. You know,
sure.
I'm glad I just don't have to be part of it. I'm glad we get the content of, you know, some questions and answers for Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi, and then you know some interviews of the prospects and.
Yeah, I can't wait till like James Pierce shows up who. Hates media more than doing anything in life, and people like ask him. So have you talked to the Cardinals? So have you talked to the Texans? So have you talked to the Titans?
Yeah.
Just go down the checklist of teams.
By the way, so is there actually quote unquote character stuff going on? Or is it just because
I've seen some stuff about that? I don't know where that would.
I just don't know what it's based on. Other than like again, like yes, he will not. I mean, he might be fine at team interviews. He's talking football. Like the media when they talk to him, it's not going to go well. He just doesn't. He won't say anything.
He does not care.
No, he doesn't care, and he's not. So, I mean, that'll be interesting. I'm sure that's one of those things where, like, his agent is like, okay, but just a little, like, give him a little
something.
Bit. Like, yeah, say a little. But
didn't one of his former teammates in high school or something go on Twitter and like go ham on him or something like that?
Is that what happened? I don't know.
I think so. I'll have to find it and send it to you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I saw. Vol Twitter discussing it, basically defending him, like, what are you talking about? But I'm like, I couldn't find what they were talking about.
Yeah, like, I could not find a reputable source to
back
all that up. So we'll see. Maybe it'll come up at the Combine this week.
Yeah. Meanwhile, since we're on the topic, did you see the Ian Rappaport tweet?
No.
Oh, good God. Actually, I saw that you have the rant today, which is great. This was going to be my rant.
Well, I could hand it off.
No, no,
mine's
no.
Mine's a permanent. It could be done at any time.
Well, this one's fine. We can do this now. We can bring it up later too. It's like, you know, it's like, dude, are you writing your own tweets? Right? I mean, when you see this tweet, and now I'm
is it Shedeur Sanders?
Yes.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. So here we go. Ian Rappaport, Colorado QB and potential top pick, Shedeur Sanders plans to focus on his interviews with teams at the NFL Scouting Combine, helping them continue to learn him as a person. He'll allow his 4 years of film to speak loudly, then throw at his pro day with four draftable CU wide receivers. Signed, Shedeur's agent, who took over my Twitter account.
He will allow the film to speak loudly.
I mean,
come on, man.
Have some self-respect, please.
And we've talked about that with Schefter before too. Like these big national guys that get all this information, it's great. They work hard, all those things. But some of it, sometimes it's just like, can you make it a little less obvious that you're just like pumping the agent's noise
right.
here?
You're
like,
just doing exactly what they tell you to do.
Right.
That you are they are puppeteering you. Yes, like the Schefter stuff with Deshaun Watson. It's like, man, just don't talk.
Just don't tweet. You'd be better off just not saying anything.
So anyway. The actual interpretation of that is Shedeur's not thrown at the combine. I'm not surprised, but I'm not surprised. It doesn't even really bother me. I know. I'm sure it's still for 4 hours about that today. I'm not surprised.
Well, maybe we could ask him later this week if he comes on our show.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. What are the bar specials on Thursday night around town?
I don't know.
You know? I mean, it's big bar night Thursday. Thursday night's a big bar night.
It is.
But I'll be interested to see if Cam Ward throws. Now you can make the case if you're his agent, like, well, I mean, you're more likely to be the number one pick. But see, I think with Shedeur, you would not want to suffer by comparison with Cam Ward because he would.
Yeah. Although if you're thinking that way, I don't know if that's what I want in the quarterback. But I hear you. I think you're right.
Yeah, but I mean,
have a little competition, man. Get out there and sling the ball around.
Yeah. But I mean, but that is the thing. Is like his hope of being the top pick or whatever of going high. First of all, I mean the Cam Ward thing. It's very very different quarterbacks. So some people, but I mean his thing is it's going to be the quick reads, the accuracy, the stuff on film that like a combine can't. It's not gonna. You can't replicate pressure. You can't. No. You can't replicate reading a blitz. All that stuff.
No, I'm not surprised that he's not going to throw. I am interested. Like, I think, could Cam Ward help himself? He's probably going to go really high in the draft, so how much helping himself is he really going to do? I don't know. But, yeah, like, I think you could walk away from a Cam Ward workout and be like, oh, yeah, okay, that's real good stuff right there.
Yeah, just some of the arm talent on display that I think, certainly exceeds Shedeur. But, yeah, I mean, look, I wish all these guys competed all the time and all did the stuff, but it's just – the top, I think people at every position, if they're a lock, it's like there's a clear top receiver like Harrison last year, or there's a clear top tackle, whatever it is, I think more and more you're going to see their agents be like, why? What does this do for us?
Yeah, what purpose is it serving?
I don't care that NFL Network wants us to do it,
Right.
If we're not going to help ourselves, why do it?
Right. We got a lot to get into the rest of this hour on the football front. Some quarterbacks that could potentially be available, some quarterbacks talking with other teams, and some speculation thrown out there about another quarterback on the West Coast that we've not talked a lot about that is interesting. We'll get into all that a little bit later this hour. Joe, I want to begin with a huge win for Vanderbilt on Saturday. They win 77-72 against Ole Miss. We talked about that game on Friday and the importance of it for Vanderbilt, and they respond. They get the win at home. It was a win that they really needed to have after losing those three in a row, albeit against very, very good teams in the SEC. But you come back home, you get the win against Ole Miss, and now, Joe, you kind of gotten yourself back in the conversation here where it's – look, I think it's going to come down the wire with Vanderbilt, but the NCAA tournament certainly now within reach by getting this win with Ole Miss.
Huge, huge win. And what Vanderbilt's been doing is they've been collapsing the second half. And so they're up 19 in the first half, and you're like, wow. And it gets all the way back to Ole Miss taking the lead in the second half. So for them to fight back from that and to to put that game away was awfully impressive. Awfully impressive, gigantic win. You know, but even with that, I mean, like, well, I'll give you a little preview of my bracket.
Oh, good.
I mean, you know, I've got them as a 10 seed, and that's not super comfortable. You know, the 11s, that's where you get – that's the bubble, right, is the 11s. And, you know, you get a little bit – you drop a little bit from the 11, and you're out of the field. So so it's still close, but that's a huge win for them. It would be great for them to do – they need to do something away from home at some point. And, again, that could be here too. I mean, they're going to have to do something here, away from home being, you know, Bridgestone Arena in the SEC tournament. But they've set themselves up, and it's just, again, it's really impressive what Mark Byington's done here in this first year, and he has a bunch of different guys. Mannion is the guy who goes off late in this one with a three and a give-and-go dunk. Just a bunch of different guys, and on any given night, any of them could do something big.
Yeah, it was impressive to watch. You know, I was watching Malik Dia out there, and it's like,
oh, man.
Wow, he used to be at Vanderbilt. Wow. He used to be at Belmont. Wow. Now he's balling for Ole Miss. This is crazy.
Also, sometimes I'm like, wow, he's going to be in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what did he end up with on Saturday? 22? Is that what it was? Yeah, I mean, 22 on 8 of 12 shooting.
He's out there step back 25 footers, like pure net, you know, with that length. Yeah. Now, sometimes he also takes some shots. You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Easy. But, no, he is a fun player and quite a talent. Yes, where will he be next? Now, wait a minute. This is his second year in a row at Ole Miss, right?
No, this is his first year.
Is this his first year?
Yeah.
He was Belmont last year.
He went Vanderbilt in 22-23, Belmont in 23-24, and now Ole Miss at 24-25.
Okay. So.
3-3.
Next year, UConn? he likes the general
region. Southeast.
Tennessee?
Yeah. Well.
Take another step up in program.
Yeah. Florida Atlantic?
Rick Barnes will take him. Oh, yeah. There you go. No, he's.
All areas in the Southeast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's a talent. Ole Miss is a really good team. I mean, that's like a 6 seed,
yeah.
7 seed, you know, and that's a huge one. So Ole Miss, Tennessee, Kentucky, that's a trio of wins that a lot of teams out there trying to get in the tournament can't match. That's pretty good.
No doubt about that. Big win for Vanderbilt on Saturday. They get it done at home, and we'll see what they're able to do here the rest of the regular season and certainly into the SEC tournament here in Nashville. We'll get into Tennessee's performance against Texas A&M over the weekend coming up next. The Predators back in action playing a couple of games. And like I said a little bit earlier, we got a lot of football to get into both the remainder of this hour and throughout the show. A lot of quarterback discussion that we're going to get into today. Robbie and Rextra brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll have more coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rextra, we mentioned a huge win for Vanderbilt over the weekend. How about the Vols? They go on the road to Texas A&M, and they get it done. 77-69, the final on the road in a tough environment against a top 10 team. And what a shot at the end of the game by Zakai Ziegler to ice that one away. Just kind of one of those shots where you walk away and you say, yep, ice in the veins of that guy. He ends up with 16, 7 assists. And Chaz Lanier, awesome in the game. 30 points for him, 10 of 18 from the field, and more specifically, 8 of 13 from 3 in that game. So the threes were flowing for Chaz Lanier, and when he shoots a ball like that, that kind of takes this Tennessee offense to a different level.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think he had 22 in the first half. Huge win for Tennessee. That's two seeds playing, you know, and so that to me, I mean, the Vols right now are the fifth team in the seeding line, and like they're very close to Alabama, and they play. And of course, there's an SEC tournament still, but like the outcome of Tennessee Alabama, the one time they play, could be really important for Tennessee to get a number one seed. Now, you know, if Tennessee does get a number one seed, is that out west? You know, you could look at the pluses and minuses of out west, or you know, being closer to home and being in two. But still, if you're a one, that means you don't have to deal with Duke or Auburn, you know, in your bracket. And so, I mean, I think Duke and Auburn are the two teams everybody wants to avoid. Although Tennessee hung right with them, but still, and those are the best two teams. So huge wins. Zakai Ziegler, I'm going to be on I will be hammering this. I've already been texting my coworkers about this. I'm like, Zakai Ziegler, you know, completely takes over a game in the second half, hits the big shot, is as good a defensive player as you're going to find. Everybody has Braden Smith of Purdue as the All-American point guard. Yesterday he goes 2-for-8, 6 turnovers, bad defense. Purdue loses Indiana. They've lost 4 in a row. Zakai Ziegler should be the first team All-American point guard over Braden Smith. I'm on the campaign trail.
I like it. How's that going?
I mean, I think people are starting to wake up a little bit. Like, this is a universal thing. And I think especially in basketball, it bothers the hell out of me. Defense is half the game. People don't care. Now, Braden Smith's a good defender too, so don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's like two players, one player is a little bit better than one offensively, but there's a total difference defensively. Well, guess what? That should count in your. You don't just go by the offensive numbers. You have to be better than that as a voter, and too often it goes away. And Ziegler's shooting percentage is bad. There's no question. Although now seems like since that injury, I mean, he's actually started to hit shots again. But defense half the game. And by the way, just like this game and so many other games, Jemai Makeshak, he's got to be one of the best glue guys I've seen in college basketball. And when he is right now, he goes in the NBA. He is a plus defender in that league and guard anybody in the league. Yep. Now, I don't know if he's going to be in the league, because obviously he doesn't have a lot of offensive game. I think he can shoot it better than he thinks he can. So just shoot more. But defensively, he is incredible.
Well, the thing I still worry about with Ziegler as we get down the stretch here is, like, he's played so much.
Yeah.
Does that catch up to him at some point? Like, just another – just to add another 33 minutes to the table the other day. And does that eventually get – I mean, maybe it doesn't. Like, it feels like he's shooting the ball recently here better than he shot it all year. So maybe he's found something here.
Yeah.
Cold tub going? Hot tub?
Yeah. Well, 33 is like – you can live with that. It's the 38s, yeah. But this is why the Vols – now, if you're fighting for a one seed, you're fighting for a one seed, but – it's like the Vols, Auburn, Bama, Florida. There's a bunch of teams I could make the case that they should just come to Nashville like, I'm sorry, guys. We'll see you next week. Because if you play 3 hard-fought games in 3 straight days over these teams that you want to beat so badly, you're going to be beat up to hell before the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's just, you could make a real case. As much as the fan base, like Auburn's fans, will be all over this town. But you can make a case, guys, you don't need any of this. Just go get your rest.
Get some rest.
Yeah. Play your backups. It's not going to happen. But that's why you like the conference tournaments, because they all want to compete.
Tennessee back in action tomorrow, taking on LSU on the road. They still have LSU and South Carolina on their schedule to close out the season. Two teams that, in this conference, not very good. They do have Alabama next Saturday, which is going to be awesome.
Yes, it's going to be fun. And, yeah, I mean, South Carolina finally got a win, beat Texas.
Yep.
It's not a good outcome for Texas.
No, it is not.
A lot of teams right around the bubble in the SEC.
The Predators back at it this weekend as well. Mixed results in terms of the final score. And Joe, I thought kind of different results from each game. I didn't think they were very good Saturday. Like, they got doubled up in shots. They didn't do hardly anything offensively. And yet they end up winning 2-1 against a Colorado team that, I didn't think had their A stuff on Saturday, but UC Saros was great. Like, full credit to him, he was awesome in that game against Colorado. So a positive there of Saros comes out of the break and immediately has a really good performance, and they win the game against Colorado. Yesterday, I mean, you look at the score, and it's 5-0, and you're like, geez. They actually had the puck a lot yesterday, had some pretty good looks. And a story that has been very familiar this year, Joe, they could not score. That is the 8th time that they've been shut out. I believe their team record is 9 times, which took place in 2013, 2014. Probably going to get there. Probably going to at least tie that at some point. You're talking about 8 times this year they've been shut out. There ain't but 82 games in the hockey season, Joe, so you're going to be flirting with like 10% at least at the end of the year. Of games that you've been shut out in, which is not very good. By the way, they scored 1 in a lot of games and 2 in a lot of games, so the offense continuing to be a massive problem. And look, New Jersey gets 5 yesterday, and I believe Onanen stopped every breakaway attempt against him, and there was like 5 of those. So it could have been worse.
Man, because Joel says, Saros 31 saves for a star, Onanen 5 goals versus the Devils. What kind of analysis from Stilly can we expect?
I'm not going to say Onanen was good yesterday, but he did. Like, he was very good against the breakaway. I'll say that.
Yeah.
He got tested a lot.
He got a lot of opportunities. Yeah. It's just interesting that, and I know like that's kind of the devil, you know, like that's happened before to the Preds against the Devils, but you know that you have a really good win one day and then come back with that.
Well, hey, look, let's be honest here. You know, we were talking about this. First off, you know, you could see it last night. This is going to be a long end of the season here for them. Like, Yossi after the game is just dejected. You know, I was talking to Ryan O'Reilly after the game last night. He said this is one of the toughest things he's ever been a part of. Like, and he was with Buffalo Sabres for a while, so he's seen some stuff. Like,
yeah.
This is – it's bad. And, you know, we're getting real close to the point where the deadline's coming around and they're going to start moving people and – we'll see what that looks like. You know, Nyquist is going to be probably on the move. Elliot Friedman had a report over the weekend that apparently some teams out there are trying to unite the Shen brothers. It's somewhere along the way. I don't know who that is, and I don't know who's going to be able to pull that off. But Braden Shen in St. Louis and Luke Shen here in Nashville, apparently some teams are looking to do that. So I'm very interested to see over the next couple of weeks here what the movement looks like. But you could, like, walking in the room last night, you can tell that they've been trying to, like, put their head down and do the right things, and they'll continue to do that. This is going to be a long last couple of months here.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Riley, the difference, like you said, he's been on bad teams, but everybody knew they were bad.
Right.
So you're like, you're the bad trying to figure out some new direction. This was not supposed to be anything like that.
Nope.
At all. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be, obviously, like you said, there's going to be some people move. There's going to be probably more youth kind of filtering into the lineup a little bit, I'd imagine.
Yep.
But all these guys who are here, these veterans who are here, these great players, just going to have to grind her out.
You know, here's a stat. I found this really interesting. Max Hurst threw this out there last night. You know, Stamkos not on the board again last night. He has not had a point in 9 consecutive games. That's the longest scoreless streak in his career. And he hadn't had a pointless streak longer than 5 games since the first 2 months of his career.
Holy cow.
He's at 9 right now. That kind of shows you how things are going.
Yeah, and he's had good stretches this year.
Yeah. Last night was the first time I've walked in the room this year and been like, good Lord, I think that they're just like counting down the days to get out of here. And I'm not saying that they dogged it last night, because I don't think they did. I don't think they're going to do that. Like, I don't think that's in them. But you could tell they are miserable in that room right now.
Yeah, the idea that this team would be, you know, it's before this, but like just mid-February.
Yeah.
And just know that it's over?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just unthinkable.
Well, and even like,
unthinkable when the season started.
Even the tone on that has shifted since they come back from break. Like, you know, before the break, they were talking about, like, you can put together a run, you never know. And now it's like, yeah, we know what the standings are. Like, we know what the standings are, and we owe it to ourselves to go out there, and we're professionals and do all that.
Right.
Like, the tone has shifted, and there's some realization as to where they're at.
Like, no one's going to sit there and say, we know we're screwed, but it's just like, you just have to be a pro.
Yeah. So, they're back at it tomorrow against the reigning Stanley Cup champions. They have Winnipeg, who I believe has won 9 in a row, I think. I need to go back and double-check that, but I think they've won 9 in a row. That's coming up on Thursday, so... schedule's not getting any easier for them moving forward here. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Ben's saying you got to deal Yossi, get a haul, set up the future.
What?
Yossi would have to
Yossi would have to agree to it.
To agree.
They're not going to do that, first off, right now. One thing that we're going to get into when the season ends, you know, and look, the way this has gone with everybody this year, we could have this conversation about a lot of people. But we've talked about him for a long time now. Like, he's been at such a high level for a long time. He's 34. And it just right now, it doesn't look the same with him. I mean, it's hard for me to judge it and just say, like, Yossi's falling off right now, because everybody else is bad. Like, this whole team is bad. So when everybody's bad at the same time, you know, maybe you start to look elsewhere for that. But, I mean, he is 34. He's played a lot of hockey. I don't think it's the craziest idea to throw the question out there of, like, is he still an elite defenseman? Like, is he going to be an elite defenseman moving forward? Or, at his age, is he just going to be pretty good and you're going to have to deal with that? Like, I don't know. Like, this year has been an off year for him just as much as everybody else. So, that's where you're at.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's just, you feel like if they were able to, like, figure some things out and just have a completely different start next year and things like that, I mean, that's the type of stuff that can rejuvenate someone, right?
Yes.
And this is the kind of season that can just take the edge off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, big time.
Yeah. I mean, the confidence in that room has just got to be zero right now. Like, it's a rough spot to be in. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Interesting development at the quarterback position in the NFL over the weekend that could indirectly affect the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Over the $99 yearly BI membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, the latest in the Matthew Stafford developments over the weekend. He has apparently been given permission by the Rams to talk with other teams and kind of get a sense of where his market value is. So Tom Pelissero has done some reporting on this. I've seen some from Yahoo as well. And basically, I think the expectation from them anyway still remains that Stafford's going to be the quarterback in L.A., and they're going to eventually get a deal worked out. But he has been given permission to talk with other teams where if a deal either falls through or if some other team is interested in trading for him and his services, you get a framework of the deal, the extension, what the contract's going to look like, and all of those things. So I guess my question is this. You know, I don't know how many times in the history of sports, I'm sure it's happened plenty, but I don't know how many times in the history of sports it's gotten to be like, yeah, you go ahead and talk to other teams, and like that's worked out well, and the guys ended up coming back. We'll see what happens with Stafford on this front. My question for you is, do you think that it's still most likely that he's going to be the quarterback of the LA Rams, and they're going to get through all this and come to an agreement? Or do you think this is the Rams kind of posturing, seeing what's out there, letting Matthew Stafford see his value, and do you think the Rams could have a different plan at quarterback trying to get a little younger at that spot? How do you view the Stafford stuff right now?
It's really interesting. It's unique, and it's like you could look at it like the Rams saying, oh, okay, Kelly, you and Kelly on the podcast, Kelly speaking for you, you think we're screwing you over? Go out there and see what teams are going to be willing to pay you. So it could be something like that. But the thing, like, if that's the case, first of all, you could be offended if you're Matthew Stafford. But also, I mean, if I'm him and his agent, I like the opportunity, right?
Sure.
I mean, so, but then it's like, okay, so what if he goes out there and the Giants are like, yeah, like we're ready to go all in, you know? Okay, so now, like, the Rams still have to like the compensation for that, you know? And then, of course, I keep coming back to, then what would the Rams' plan be? You know, we heard on Sportsmanlike before the show the speculation about Darnold to the Rams.
Yeah.
Darnold in that offense, Kevin O'Connell, he's in that coaching tree. With Darnold with the Rams, you're cheaper than, you know, what Stafford is going to get wherever he is, and you're younger, and so you have more runway. I mean, if you're the Rams after just obliterating him and ending his season, how excited are you about it? I mean, it's just one game. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's younger. I think we would all agree that Sam Darnold is not as good as Matthew Stafford now, but he does probably have more runway, right? I mean, you're talking about a younger guy that, you know, if he plays like he played for the majority of last season, like, you can do a lot of winning with that. Now, the question you got to determine there is, all right, is he going to play like he did the majority of last season, or is he going to turn into a pumpkin like he did the last couple of games? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. We've talked about a lot about that as it relates to the Titans. And by the way, we're going to bring up Sam Darnold in the 7 o'clock hour. Very interesting piece at ESPN.com that I think the Titans are considering and should consider as they move forward here. But back to the Stafford part of this, like, this is really interesting the way this is shaking out. We've talked about the number that Stafford is due coming up. You know, the cap hit for him is $49.7 million and $53.7 million for the next 2 years. That's the cap hit for him. The actual number that he's coming in is less than that. So he's looking at it and he's seeing all these quarterbacks around the league right now making all this money, right? Like Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, and Tua Tagovailoa are all getting paid. More guys are going to get paid a ton of money as the salary cap continues to go up. And he says, you know, my level of play warrants more money than I'm getting right now. Are the Rams actually going to want to do that? Like, is that going to be something they want to do? And look, if he when you get through this process and he's talking to these other teams, what does the interest level look like for other teams? And, like, how tempted are the Rams? Let's say Stafford goes out and he talks to, you know, another team that, you know, Minnesota or the Giants or whoever, and they come back and say, we'll give you a first-round pick and, like, a third-round pick for Matthew Stafford. Like, how do the Rams view that? Like, are they so on the fence with him that they're just looking for some draft compensation right now and that's really what's behind all this? Or are they just saying, yeah, go out there and see your value. When you don't like it, come back here and we'll pay you what we think we should pay you.
Yeah. Are they totally open-minded? You know, just let's just see. Or is it, yeah, you know, is it just sort of like, well, you know, we'll let you go out there and find out that it's not as great as you think, or that you're not, your value is not as good. But I mean, maybe they don't know either. You know, I mean, I have to think there's a chance that there's a team out there that's like, heck yeah, a couple years of him. I mean, the Giants, pretty freaking bad. But you know, it's the same thing. Like even with the Giants, okay, well, what if you add really good quarterbacking to everything else? It's not like they're a completely horrific team, you know? It's the quarterback has been, I think, the biggest problem for them last year. I think it was for sure. So I guess you could talk yourself into it if you're the team, you know, have a good offseason, bring him in, and buy, you know, like we can be a playoff contender in the NFC right now. And who knows what next year.
Well, and I said this a few weeks ago as the Stafford stuff started swirling out there. Like this, to me, this is good for the Titans. Like the more veteran options you've got at quarterback out there on the market, I think the better chances that you end up with somebody you like if you're the Titans. Now, it's probably not going to be Stafford, but like if Stafford ends up being available, well, that's another quarterback that's out there. Then the Rams have to make a corresponding move. We'll see what they do on that front, but there's already a lot of veteran options out there, a lot of pros and cons to most of them when you look at it. But I'm really interested to see if he breaks loose, like how does that affect the rest of the market here? Like how does that affect Darnold? How does that affect where Rodgers ends up, Russell Wilson, all these guys? Because Stafford, I think you and I would agree, if he shakes loose, is probably going to be the top prize available out there this year.
Yep. And that's the thing, again, like if you're the Titans – yeah, like definitely the more the better if you're trying to get into this thing. But what if this does end up leading to, you know, like the Rams' plan is Darnold?
Yeah.
Then your great plan, well, some people really, really want it to happen, is not going to happen.
That'd be tough for a certain person here
on
the station.
That'd be tough. That'd be tough.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, Stafford to the Steelers makes the most sense. It also would be really good. I've thought about that. There is another team that I am very interested to see what they do at quarterback this offseason. They've got a decision to make with a quarterback of their own, which is going to be really fascinating, I think. And maybe it's just as simple as they bring him back and he's the quarterback moving forward for them and they pay him the long-term money. Or maybe, Joe, they look at their roster and they say, man, we're getting older. Our window is maybe diminished already, but certainly shrinking right now, and we got to make a dramatic move at quarterback. That was thrown out there this weekend in a piece that I saw on SI.com, and it does relate to Matthew Stafford. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So he brought up Matthew Stafford. Very intriguing quarterback situation that bears monitoring as he has been given permission by the Rams to look around and see what his value is out there. There's another quarterback situation this offseason, Joe, that I don't think is getting a ton of attention because I think the thought has been all along, and my thought probably still largely remains this way, that this player is going to get signed. and he's going to be kind of that next guy who gets paid more than $50 million a year with the situation that he's in. And that's Brock Purdy in San Francisco. Brock Purdy kind of is next in line to be the guy that makes a lot of money, and San Francisco has been preparing for that. Like, they've been preparing for the extension that's coming Brock Purdy's way. We've talked about that with Charles Robinson over the last year or so, and he's kind of laid that out there. You know, Jed York, their owner, said earlier this month that they're going to do everything to kind of get an extension done with Brock Purdy. So it feels like that's where things are going to go with him. I did see an interesting article over the weekend on SI.com that did get me thinking about it a little bit, just in terms of the Stafford stuff floating out there, and Purdy still to this point is unsigned moving forward with San Francisco and hasn't reached that new deal yet. And I'll just read a piece from Grant Cohn from SI.com and just give you like the first couple of graphs of it. It says the Rams recently gave Stafford permission to seek a trade. Stafford presumably wants a contract extension. Rams don't seem too keen to commit themselves to a 37-year-old quarterback. So should the 49ers trade Brock Purdy to the Rams for Stafford? The Rams most likely want a younger quarterback to pair with their revamped roster, and the 49ers have a much older roster, aging veterans, and Stafford a significantly better quarterback than Purdy. Why not go all in? Why not give this aging core its best chance to finally win a Super Bowl? Now, we all know San Francisco heading into last season, it's interesting to think about it now with the way it played out, but they were the favorite heading into last season to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Things went haywire. They had a lot of injuries. Brandon Ayuk got hurt, and they did not come close to living up to preseason expectations this last year. Purdy did not play as well this last year as he has previously, but there are a lot of things going on around him that contributed to that. How do you view the Brock Purdy situation? And if you're San Francisco with that core that's been so competitive for so long, that is getting older and looking like maybe they're already on the other side of things with no Super Bowl championship to show for it, would you make a dramatic move and try to go get the veteran in Matthew Stafford if you're the Niners this offseason?
I like Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's very good. If the Niners got Stafford and didn't have a disastrous energy season, they'd win it all. But if you're the Rams, why are you letting them do that?
Well, that's the thing. You're talking about a team that's in your division.
I'm not letting them do that. I'm not. Not at all. But, yeah, if I'm the Niners, if somehow those guys are old friends, they could somehow come to a – you know, Shanahan, McVay, they've been buddies forever, going back to their time together in Washington long ago. If they somehow can, you know, like, hey, you know, like, you can use, like, the house in Aruba for a month, or, you know, like, Aspen, whatever. Like, I don't know. What can we barter here beyond, yeah, you know, the draft capital and stuff? They can work that out great. But, yeah, like, if I'm Sean McVay, I'm not letting the Niners have him, because I think that it would definitely be an upgrade over Brock Purdy. Again, I like Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's very good.
Yeah.
And I would pay him. If I'm the Niners, I mean, that's like, you could do way worse than him. I think he proved himself, and I think I would pay him. But if I had this opportunity, you know, in the window, because it is, it's small here. I mean, a lot of things are, and look, it may be over. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes down to, like, is McCaffrey – I mean, does he have a full season in him?
They're pretty old right now.
Yeah, like, it's right there. So, if you can get the – obviously much older quarterback, but better quarterback come in and that offense light up, yeah, man, I would do it.
Yeah, they are such an interesting team to look at the way it's gone here, because they have, by and large, this year notwithstanding – have been either the most talented roster or right there on the short list of the most talented rosters in the league for a good while now. Like, they built up a really solid roster on both sides of the ball. It started to go the other way this year. So maybe they're at the end of this thing. I don't know. Purdy's been good. Like, you know, 2023, he completed nearly 70% of his passes. He threw for 4,280 yards. He had 31 touchdowns, 11 picks. He was throwing for 9-6 an attempt. Like, it had really good numbers. This year, you know, they all, like, all of his numbers took a step back. this year. Now, again, there are a lot of things going on around him, like Deebo Samuel's falling off the cliff, Brandon Ayuk got hurt, you know, George Kittle's a year older. Like, there's a lot of things going on right now that did not help Brock Purdy this year. I agree with you. Like, Brock Purdy, I think, is good. He's a good quarterback. And with some of the other guys around the league that have been paid, he probably deserves to be paid. I have wondered, like, the Niners have gone through this entire run with Jimmy G, who was, at his height, good. Like, he was a good quarterback. He wasn't great. Purdy has been a pretty good quarterback. They've not really had that upper crust, top-level quarterback play. Like, Stafford could give you that. The question I would have, first off, I'm with you. Like, the Rams are not going to let that happen. And number two, even if they did, like, is it just too late with everybody else right now? Like, are they so far on the other side of it with some of their injuries and age right now that they've just missed their window here?
Yeah, and I think if they haven't, you could still win with Brock Purdy, right?
Yep.
I mean, you get the Super Bowl. So like, how much are you disrupting, you know, chemistry or whatever by taking Purdy out and jamming in Matthew Stafford? Maybe. Yeah, it depends on how much of an upgrade you really think it is, you know? It is a downgrade in mobility.
Yes.
Brock Purdy has definitely made a lot of plays, just extending plays too. So there's that to keep in mind. But to me, this year has to be win it all or bust for the Niners. It has to be. They are very close to having to dismantle and just reboot the whole thing.
Well, that's the other thing about this is, you know, if they made a move, an aggressive push for Stafford, you're talking about in the next year or two. Like, that's what it is. Purdy, while he's not as good as Stafford, he's 25. So, I mean, conceivably, we'll see if this happens, but if things go well for him, he'd be a quarterback the next 10 years. Like, you're giving up a long-term future quarterback if you decide to kind of short-circuit that thing.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of a philosophical thing too, because you could take the other side of that and say, okay, so you're going to pay this guy. You have long-term, pretty good quarterbacking.
Right.
You could do worse. But in the league now, the way people move around and stuff, maybe it's not such a bad thing to have a better quarterback later in his career, but for a smaller amount of time. But then you go on to the next one.
Right.
And then at some point, maybe you get the young one who's great and not just good to really good like Purdy.
Yeah,
he's way beyond where they drafted him, obviously.
I mean, I think if you're assigning percentages to it, like, it's probably a 95% chance that Purdy is going to get an extension this offseason. Like, it seems to be – they've been preparing for that for a while, and that seems to be where they're going. It's probably the right move. I just saw that piece at SI.com, and, like, thinking about Stafford on the Niners is interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly – I mean, that's exactly, like, the kind of team that needs him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, they're the best. I mean, that's the best example of a team that's perfect to bring him in and just go do it. I don't know if there's anybody else. The problem is, yeah, like, you're like, no one's going to help you like that in your own division.
Just don't think so.
I don't think.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will continue the quarterback discussion coming up next. The reclamation quarterback in the National Football League. Titans could have some options there this offseason. It's a more popular thing now, seemingly, than it's been at any other point in league history. What have we learned? What has worked with reclamation QBs? What has not? And how does that affect the Titans? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.